but excited to be here this morning. So this is a nice segue. This morning I'm going to talk about flu vaccine information needs of primary care physicians. I do want to thank folks I worked with on this study, Ann Cowan of our CHEER group up at the University of Michigan and Pascal Wortley at the CDC. We don't have financial disclosures, and we thank the APTR for funding this work along with the CDC. So there are different estimates of where flu vaccine is given, but a reasonable one is that about two-thirds of flu vaccine in the United States is administered in some type of medical setting. And it's pretty likely that a substantial proportion of that is given by primary care providers. As you just heard, flu vaccination can be fairly tricky. We are already pretty sure that the changing recommendations provides an information need that that physicians have, and that through the years, as Carla did a really good job of explaining, that's really changed from being a recommendation for folks with chronic illness and elderly, then bringing the kids on board, and we've moved up with the age groups to now being a full universal recommendation. But alongside those types of changes is the sort of the annual adventure that represents influenza vaccination, with always a little bit of uncertainty of when vaccine will arrive, whether enough will arrive, whether the different pots of vaccine, if you're a pediatrician, if the VFC and the private vaccine arrive at the same time, new products, and then toss in H1N1, and it's always something with flu vaccine. So our objective for this study was to understand the information needs of primary care providers related to influenza vaccination. We did a cross-sectional mailed survey that was fielded between July and September of last year. And we used the American Medical Association master file to pull a national random sample. And it's important for you to know that that master file is not based on AMA membership or any other membership. The AMA has the responsibility to collect. What they try to do is have a complete database of all licensed physicians in the United States, regardless of membership. So often our group uses that information source to pull our physician samples. We looked for physicians in direct office-based patient care, 1,500 who reported their specialty as family practice, 1,500 who reported their specialty as general internal medicine, and 1,500 who reported their specialty as pediatrics. And when we did our sampling, we excluded physicians who had any subspecialty board certification, if you were a cardiologist or a nephrologist or something, because we were really going after primary care providers. We developed a brief survey, one pager, and that asked about the following topics: their plans for providing flu vaccine in their practice for the current flu season, their provision of H1N1 vaccine during last influenza season, their priority rating, and they could choose high, medium, or low, for additional guidance on influenza-related issues, and I'll walk you through exactly what those issues are as we're going along, their practice setting, and their membership in their respective professional medical society, the American Academy of Family Practice, the American College of Physicians, or the American Academy of Pediatrics. And we wanted to ask about this because so often those types of organizations take on the role of promulgating information and disseminating information to their members. So what we wanted to do was take a look at whether specialty society membership would have an influence on their perceived information needs. We had an overall response rate of 70%. Right on 70% for the family physicians, a little bit lower for the internists, and a little bit higher for the pediatricians. We excluded people who said they were not providing any outpatient primary care, including immunizations. So we were left with, for our analysis, 2,447 respondents who, after our screening question, who we are confident do provide outpatient primary care services, including immunizations, and you can see the numbers. And we wanted to have this be a large enough sample that we really felt good that we were able to capture a national perspective. Real quickly, just a couple of demographics. You'll see with regard to practice setting, overall, the three primary care groups look reasonably similar. For the family physicians, a smaller portion of them practice in a private independent or a private network setting, and a little more of them are in public clinics or especially community health centers where family physicians really are sort of team players that can see patients at all levels. If you look on the other side of the right-hand column, the pediatricians tend to be a little bit more in the private practice setting and less in a hospital or health system. At the bottom, you'll see specialty society membership. Both family physicians and pediatricians have a fairly high proportion of folks who are members of their respective specialty societies, and that is substantially lower for internists. And I think that's important for people, especially as you branch out and work with some new groups of providers as this adult recommendation, the universal adult recommendation takes off. It's not going to be the same kind of automatic connection through your state chapter of the ACP as it is with the AAP or even the AAFP. So respondents reported their plans to offer influenza vaccine for the 2010-11 season. And you'll see in this first column, 99% of them indicated they will have injectable vaccine. Now, keep in mind who's not here. Who's not here is anybody who doesn't practice primary care, outpatient primary care, including offering immunization services. So in no way am I saying 99% of internists are offering flu vaccine. The folks that don't usually provide any immunization services didn't answer our survey. We excluded them. So take that as my little caveat to you, okay? So this is the group of folks who are in the game. We had to do a different presentation for folks who are not in the game. We wouldn't have time for that today. So about 1% of them offered some kind of vaccine but not planning on offering flu vaccine this year. Much more variability with regard to LAIV. Much. Now, we know the pediatricians have gotten on board with LAIV and are really beginning to understand how that fits in within their practice. Family physicians had 44% indicate that they plan to have LAIV this year, and the internists are really lagging behind here, probably because of the recommendation just hasn't quite caught up with a lot of their population, but still only 24% of the internists indicated that they would be offering LAIV. There was a practice setting effect here also, where consistently for each of our three primary care groups, LAIV was least available in the private practice or private network setting, more available at hospitals, and most commonly available in public clinics, which also include community health centers. So there's even a difference in sort of how LAIV has worked its way into these different practice settings. And you'll see that was just consistent as you go through the family physicians, the internists, and the pediatricians. Just because everyone loved H1N1 so much last year, we thought, well, we want to just take a look at the extent to which our respondents were involved in that venture. And we were quite surprised at the high rates of participation. We were expecting the pediatricians to be in the 90%, but we split this up into three groups. Those who offered vaccine in their practice, that means they signed up to participate, and they got vaccine, and they gave it. So 82% of family physicians, 74% of internists. So again, it's a best-case scenario for internists because these are ones who are vaccinated anyway. But still, I think there are people in here that would say, that's really quite good. And I would say to you, that's really quite good. Mm-hmm. And pediatricians at 93%. This middle group we want to think about for a second, people who agreed to participate but didn't get vaccine. That could be everything from they did the first part of the registration but never sent in their provider agreement or some other administrative thing, or by the time vaccine was available for their group of practices, they had felt that their patients didn't want it anymore or their practice wasn't ready to do that anymore. So that's that middle group, agreed to participate but no vaccine. The third group was those who either didn't agree or said they didn't know how to participate, and it tends to actually be the former. So that was a much more common response among the family physicians and especially the internists. And again, I think some of that is this effect of they don't necessarily have an organizing hub the way the pediatricians do with their AAP chapters, and we don't have a lot of those relationships already built with the internists. Okay, the question that we asked was basically they filled out on a grid to prioritize their needs for additional guidance on the following flu-related issues. The first was subpopulations to prioritize if flu vaccine is limited. So we had just come off a year where this was absolutely a hot topic. And as you would expect, just about 50% of each group indicated that this is a high priority. So if you look along the left-hand column, you have our three primary care groups, family physicians, internists, and pediatricians. The red section of the bar, as you go across, each bar will add up to 100%. The red section is the proportion who indicated this is a high priority, and that, for this particular issue, was lots. The yellow section of the bar are the respondents who indicated this is a medium priority, and the green was a low priority. So for each of our groups, nearly half said it was a high priority, and the folks, 20 to 22% called it a low priority. Clearly, this is an area where primary care providers need help staying informed, staying up to date. Like I said, it's the highest priority information need. We had expected that we would see some differences based on provider characteristics. We looked at age, gender, practice setting, their board certification status, and their specialty society membership. And really, nothing was associated with these results. It was just a strong tendency to want to have information about prioritizing subgroups if the situation warranted it. The second topic was when to use injectable versus intranasal vaccine, or LAIV. If you remember from the slide two slides ago, there's much less red here, as you can see. Between 18 and 21% called this a high priority information need. And look at the green. That's a lot of green. Between 40 and 50% for each of our primary care groups called this a low priority. And remember, these are people who are in the vaccination game anyway. So this is not going to surprise you. Respondents thought this was a higher priority if they were offering LAIV in their practice. So for family physicians who had LAIV, 29% called this a high priority. Those who didn't have LAIV, only 11%. You'll see similar percentages here for internists, 28% for those who had LAIV, 13% who didn't, and even the pediatricians, 22-16. Turn it around the other way, thinking about those big green bars. Over half of the physicians who don't have LAIV say that it's a low priority to know when to use it. So, on one hand, I would say, duh, that makes sense. They don't have it, they don't really care, they're not thinking about that thing. But on the other hand, I think this illustrates a really big challenge that's out there, especially with regard to the expanded adult recommendations. How do you get on the radar screen for using a product that really can be useful in the primary care setting when folks who don't have it aren't thinking about it and don't even see it as a need? I think some of this goes right back to what Carla was talking about with regard to a big chunk of providers that might not know we've expanded this recommendation. And along with that, they might not know how LAIV can be useful to work with that expanded population. So it's a little bit of bad news in the middle of this presentation of I think you're going to have to work really hard to get providers to even recognize that this is something they need to know about. A related question had to do with their information needs for staff education on how to administer LAIV vaccine, and we've heard from a number of people that's a particular challenge in practice, that even practices that do a lot of immunization, LAIV is just a little new and a little uncomfortable for a lot of people. So you'll see this was slightly more just over 20% thought this was a high priority, slightly more than the injectable versus intranasal one. But again, you're seeing a lot of green. And I'm not going to surprise you here. Again, it was a higher priority if LAIV was offered in the practice. Same format as before for family physicians. If they had LAIV, 29% thought this was a high information priority, 18% if they didn't. Internists, surprisingly enough, were the ones who had the highest recognition that this was an information need for them. So, you know, I think once they are familiar with this product, they're recognizing a third of them nearly, hey, we have to do something to help our staff understand a little bit better how to use this. In this case, this was a higher priority, the topic of needing staff LAIV education, a higher priority among physicians who are not board certified. So it takes a little bit of time to think about who do those physicians tend to be and where do they tend to practice. They're not always easy to identify. And it's not necessarily an assumption that they are lesser physicians, but maybe they're in certain ways not tapped into as many information networks. So I feel like we need to do a little bit more exploring about that finding to understand exactly what it means. Respondents rated their information needs according about the optimal timing of flu vaccination for pregnant women. This was a pretty big deal for family physicians and internists, about 30% of each. Pediatricians, this just wasn't on their radar screen because for most pediatricians, when they have a pregnant teenager, they get that to a different type of provider real quickly. And recognized by family physicians and internists also as you see a bigger yellow chunk here. I think they do have some hesitancies. And we've seen in other studies, it's that first trimester that still really gives people a lot of pause. I think that stems back from the original flu vaccine recommendation, where it was rolled out with a lot of hesitancy about what to do in the first trimester, and I think we're still seeing that. So still not a big priority for the pediatricians. No consistent patterns with any of the different things that we looked at in terms of bivariate analyses. We asked only family physicians and pediatricians their information needs related to the number of doses needed for kids. Internists might see a couple here or there, but it's really not a big market share for them. And this was in the 20 to 30% range for the family physicians and pediatricians, which was a little bit surprising to me because we hear often that this is confusing. Well, they got one dose this year and one dose the year before, and how many years do you have to go before you need to stop thinking about two doses? So it was a little less than we thought, but you know, still maybe a quarter of your primary care physicians are looking for information here. There was an interesting age effect here with the pediatricians, where the pediatricians over 55 were the ones that 43% of them said they called this a high information priority. So I think if you've been doing this through the years, you think, wow, what is the situation right now? What's the newest recommendation? And folks need help on that. The use of higher dose formulation for the elderly was one of our last ones here. This is a new product, and both the family physicians and the internists really felt like this was something that they wanted to know more about, both with the high and the medium priority. They were thinking that that's the newness of it and how it fits into practice. Interestingly enough, this is where we see our first gender effect, with females wanting to know more. And for the family physicians, but not the internists, older physicians wanted to know, place this as a higher information priority, this idea of the higher dose formulation for the elderly. Certainly there are limitations to this study. Anytime you do a survey or any other type of study, you don't get everybody, so there's the chance of response bias. And really importantly, these are their own reported information needs. This doesn't necessarily translate to their information-seeking behavior or their receptiveness to your educational efforts. So, good luck and keep trying. In conclusion, primary care providers recognize several information priorities around flu vaccine. The big two that we saw in the study were the subpopulations to prioritize in a shortage situation and the use of higher dose formulation for the elderly. And this lack of priority for LAIV issues, I think, is significant, and it suggests that promoting increased use of LAIV is going to be a challenge, and we need to do further work on that if we're going to make some headway on the universal recommendation. That's my contact information. Thank you very much, and I'll look forward to questions at the end of the session.